Emmy Award-winning John Mulaney presents Everybody's in L.A., a special run of six live episodes created by and starring Mulaney that'll stream live on Netflix during the Netflix is a Joke Fest. The comically unconventional show will feature special guests where John Mulaney explores the city of Los Angeles during a week when every funny person is in it. Watch John Mulaney Presents Everybody's in L.A., debuting May 3rd live at 7 p.m. Pacific time, only on Netflix.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to keepitfunohio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Someone's going to sleep, so I just got to land. Just take my time and wait to land.
Ladies and gentlemen, how about it? Phil Hawes.
And that's it. The violent Bob Ross by TKO in round three.
Whoever I need to get in the title picture, that's all I want. I don't care who it is.
Ladies and gentlemen, Luis Peña.
Welcome to UFC Unfiltered.
Please tell me that's on video. I've never been happier.
I'm made for a fucking podcast. We're dangerous. Listen to me, we're at it.
Welcome to UFC Unfiltered. I had to take off my old man glasses. Not that anybody gives a shit what I look like. I'm not exactly a looker. You know, I blink too much. I'm uncomfortable. My head is fat. Nobody tunes in to look at tall drink of water, Jim Norton. However, I didn't want my fucking old man glasses on. Welcome to UFC Unfiltered. A bit of news to start. Non-UFC related. Rush Limbaugh died today. So RIP, whether people loved him or hated him, he was really good at his job. I was never a huge fan, but I still respect what he did. What's that?
I'm sorry, Jimmy. I was going to say, I think he's before a lot of people's time. Do they know who he is? A lot of them.
Oh, yeah. I mean,
no, he was popular in like the 80s or 90s, right? Was it 90s?
He was, but I mean, people, and again, I never listened to his show. I just know to stay that big on terrestrial radio for that long is very difficult to do.
How old was he?
70.
Wow. Jimmy, you know
what? Not crazy.
I feel I'm stuck in time.
Yeah.
I feel like I'm still a kid. In 4 years, I'll be 50, Jimmy.
Yeah.
Let me take that back. Not that 50s. No, there's nothing wrong with that, being 50. I'm trying to say me as being a man's child. Because I just realized my very, very good friend is like 50.
Oh, I thought you were commenting on the fact that I was only casually mentioning that Rush Limbaugh died. And for some reason now it's, hey, lucky I'm only 46.
No,
it's always weird though when it's a guy who you've known about, like whether you liked him or not or listened to him or not. It's always weird when a famous person died. Like, I don't know why that is. We think like Alex Trebek from Jeopardy, like these guys that die that are really famous. You're like, I don't know why the fuck I didn't think famous people were going to die, but it's always a weird effect when somebody that big dies.
But you know what it is? Like with a Rush Limbaugh, I remember him. Like the last time I think I seen him was how many, 20 years ago. So I'm picturing him being like just like around my age now, like 50 or something, like 46 or something, like in his 40s. That's when I remember him. That's when he was at his peak of his popularity, probably around my age now. So like, that's how I picture him. So when you're telling me the guy's 70, I'm like,
yeah,
that means it just shows you like, shit, man, I'm stuck in a time warp. Well, I mean, the guy hasn't been in the public though, in the eye, for a while.
I guess he still had the radio show. And again, I never listened to the show. But just being aware of somebody for so long, and whenever somebody announced that they have a terminal illness like cancer or something, I always pay attention because I'm like, all right, when a guy has so much money, like Steve Jobs, when he was sick, like when you think, fuck, these guys have the money to fix this. And then you realize like, man, it doesn't matter how much money you have, how big you are in your industry. Like when you get something like that, you're just as fucked as anybody else. Like it's just none of that stuff can save you. Especially with Steve Jobs, who was in his 50s. Like, it always just, I don't know, it always just makes me feel really mortal and small.
He was in his 50s?
56. I think he was 56, yeah.
that's really, I didn't realize he was so young.
Yeah.
And Larry King was a bit older, but Larry
King. Yeah, Larry King was 85, I think. He was old.
He had his wits about him, though, because I remember seeing him doing his talk show.
Yeah.
His talk show after his main thing that was on CNN forever.
And yeah.
Like, you would talk about the one thing that scares him is death and dying and not being, what was he saying exactly? He was concerned about it. I guess the older you get, the more concerned you probably.
Sure.
When you're so young and carefree, you don't. We sound like too old.
But when you see somebody waving you over and you're like, oh, is that my friend? Oh, it's the Grim Reaper. Yeah, of course. We all start fucking panicking.
Yeah, Jimmy.
Yeah. Larry King. I interviewed Larry King a few times. He would be at our show. He was a really fascinating guy. I love talking to like older guests like that because they don't give a shit. They'll talk about anything. They're not afraid of saying the wrong thing. You know, anybody over 60 doesn't give a fuck.
Yeah, I know. That's why Longo doesn't give a fuck.
Yep.
How many times did he get married, Larry King?
I think 8, which really makes him even more of a hero. Yep. I believe 8 times.
It's weird with that whole thing. It's not like money makes that any easier either.
No.
You think, I got all the money now. I'll be financially set. And I'll just live happily ever after. You know, you have to have a good chemistry.
You do.
And a good, you have to be very compatible. And you have to grow together, Jimmy. I think a lot of people get together young, and as they get older, they're like, I had enough of you.
Yeah. And you got to have a will. Because like, there's always family members like, with when Prince died, or now that, Larry King, I'm just reading before, Larry King's widow and his estranged son are fighting over the money. I'm actually talking to an estate lawyer soon just to have a will. I want to have a will, like for my family.
First of all, I don't want any. First, I want to say I would be devastated if anything ever happened to you. I would
be absolutely
devastated. And I would have a hard time accepting anything you leave for me. I mean, I've been in your apartment. I know. I'm just saying, think of your family. I know you think of me as family, but I would like you to think of your blood family before me. Because I know you, I mean, listen.
Well, I have a little something put aside for you. I don't know if you, I'll tell you what it is.
Are you going to tell me? You're making a surprise. But I go.
Many, many years ago, Reed Harris gave me a pair of signed Chuck Liddell shorts, and I am going to leave them to you because you're an MMA guy. You love the UFC. This is a piece of UFC history, and I am going to leave that to you, my friend.
I've been in your apartment.
I have some. Okay. How about this? I used to get gloves signed. I don't need more, but I would never sell them. They're always for me, but I will leave them to people I care about. I have something that I know you don't have, and I would like to leave it for you.
You have something, what, besides the shorts that Chuck Liddell signed? Right. I can call Chuck Liddell. I go, Chuck Liddell, sign me a pair of shorts. I'm not, a good friend.
That's not as good.
I don't need that. What do you have?
I can leave for you a signed Vanderlei Silva glove or Benson Henderson. Or JDS.
You have all those things?
I have a bunch of them from years ago. Yeah. But I just collect them. I don't sell them. Most of them were made out to Jim. So you might have to cover that if you display them.
You know what? Better yet, I could always use another Oculus Quest 2. Just leave me that and keep all your.
That's spoken for. The Oculus Quest 2 is spoken for.
Sam Roberts? What are you doing?
No, it would never fit over his giant head. No, you'd have to. Fucking Sam's head is like this. He's like a fucking alien. You'd have to get an attachment or an extension.
Emmy award-winning John Mulaney presents Everybody's in L.A., a special run of 6 live episodes created by and starring Mulaney that'll stream live on Netflix during the Netflix is a Joke Fest. The comically unconventional show will feature special guests where John Mulaney explores the city of Los Angeles during a week when every funny person is in it. Watch John Mulaney Presents Everybody's in L.A., debuting May 3rd live at 7 p.m. Pacific Time, only on Netflix.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to keepitfunohio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
He's got style, man.
Yes, he does. Hey, buddy, how are you?
I'm trying. I appreciate that. What's up? How's it going?
How are you? Are you in Vegas already?
Yes, sir. Actually, I got into Vegas last night around 4 PM, and it's been chilling, man. The quarantine is the worst part. The first night of quarantine, they didn't let us go to the grocery store or anything, so you just kind of had to order food and everything.
You got a video game system you bring with you, or you're not a video game guy?
I brought the PlayStation this time.
Oh. Very good. Very good. I bring that Oculus Quest too. I put that right in my carry-on. And I'm telling you, man, I was in Abu Dhabi fight playing that shit, Merkin Fools. I was in fucking Vegas, loving it.
I went to I went home to Arkansas for Thanksgiving and Christmas this year, and my original coach had the Oculus 2 at the gym, and he let me play like the boxing game. Dog, the advancement in technology, like the way he reacted to feints, and like I could set traps up and everything. That was so cool to me.
God, Jimmy, you should get Thrill of the Fight, Jimmy.
I do. I have that's one it. Of the that fight was- ones. I might have Creed. I might have gotten that one.
Creed was really good too.
I need a little bit more room to do it. Like this is what I am. I do the fucking the one where you sit there and you punch the beach balls coming at you. Like that's my exercise. But the boxy one, I sucked at. It made me dizzy. The next thing I know, I'm in the audience and you have to push the button to move forward to come back in. I was terrible at boxing. I can't fight for shit.
Nah, that one got me too. Was really funny though. Is the way the thrill? I think it was Thrill of the Fight, because the way you had to like start the fight, you had to go like step on the scale. Yeah. And my dog went to like step up on the scale, and like I did the whole flex and everything. It was cool. I loved it.
I'll get that one because the Creed one I have is good, but I just need a little bit more room to, cause the Oculus has like that weird virtual fence around you. So if you move too close, the fence shows up and it just kills the vibe of what you're doing.
Without a doubt.
Yo, Lewis, I feel like we haven't seen you in a while. Like what's been going on with you?
It has been a while. My last fight was June, last year. So, I mean, it's been a solid 8 months, I believe, like almost, a week away from exactly 8 months. And unfortunately, you know, I had to deal with the marijuana suspension from my last fight. And then that was up in November, and I was immediately trying, like from September to November, from the time I was going to be done with the suspension, I was trying to get my managers to book something or to, you know, get something with the UFC, and we just couldn't make anything happen between then and now. And it's gotten to the point where, you know, I've just been training and waiting and waiting. And then Abe called me up last week and asked me if I wanted to take this fight. I said, let's do it.
Were you training?
Yeah. Oh, just a week ago. Wow. Yeah. Were you already in shape?
I've been training the entire time. I've been training for 8 months. You know what I mean? When I went and did my physical, and the doctor, you know, took all my vitals and everything, he was like, wow, I haven't seen anyone with vitals like this in a long time. I mean, when it comes to weight, he called me, I was like 170. I'm 164 right now, you know, and I'm not hurting or anything. So I feel great. I even made a tweet a few weeks ago. I told the UFC, all I need is 2 weeks notice, really. At that point, all I needed was 2 weeks notice. I knew I'd put in the work. I know I put in the work of a camp without it actually being a camp.
So you must have been happy to get that call. I mean, it's got to be nice, especially after the suspension. And you must be how nice is it that they changed the rules on that now, so that won't happen again. I mean, never should have happened to begin with. They shouldn't have cared if guys were doing that.
I mean, it is what it is, and it's an unfortunate circumstance, but at the end of the day, I'm just glad that I don't have to deal with it anymore, you know. And I'm just glad to be out of the suspension. But it was also kind of cool. I got to be a little bit of like an advocate for cannabis and everything during that time, and I got a lot of publicity from it. So it is what it is, you know. Roll with the punches.
Okay, I was maybe Matt. Maybe you'll know this too, because I don't drink or I don't get high. Like I quit all that when I was very young. Is CBD oil, is that bad to take if you don't smoke? Like, is there any like drug in that, or is that just something that's medicinal?
No, CBD is completely non-psychoactive. So you won't feel any effect, like any high effect.
What's it do?
Supposedly, it pretty much provides all of the medical properties that cannabis and marijuana do without any of the psychoactive effects. So it's like essentially being able to get all of the benefits of using marijuana without actually using marijuana.
Okay, without the actual high. Okay.
So it's good for you, Jimmy, but it's not good for me.
No, I know, but it's like drinking coffee that's decaf. It sucks, but you do it.
It's like drinking O'Doul's.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like having a fucking O'Doul's. I want the psychoactive shit, and then I want to roll for an hour. That's what I do. You know what I mean, Jimmy?
Yeah, of course.
Maybe murk a couple of fools in VR. I like to have a good time. Hey, speaking of having a good time, every time I think of you, Lewis, I think of a clip they showed before you fight, but it's a clip before they show you backstage and you're fucking vibing out. And I mean, it's not there. I'm not going to do it.
You should do it because I don't know the clip you mean.
You were fucking doing something where you were fucking, you were vibing to the music before your fight. And when I saw you doing that, I just started shaking my, I was feeling it. I was feeling the energy. Jimmy, you got to see this clip. I'm going to find it on his Instagram. I hope you have it somewhere on your Instagram.
It's on my Instagram. I think it's on the UFC's Instagram too. They got like, they love to that stuff. I don't know why.
I'm going to find it. We're going to find it and we're going to play it with us talking about it right now.
Okay, the producer will find it.
It doesn't look like he's about to fight. It looks like he's in that club and he's just fucking...
I have such a good time with what I do. You know what I mean? I this year for Thanksgiving, I mean, I can't lie. Matt, I'm sure you know what it's like when you, not even the suspension, but just having such a long layoff from fighting. They talk about, you know, the depression you go through as a prize fighter, the ups and downs. You know, you go through this huge, huge high of the fight and you go through all these downs because you're not doing anything. You don't feel like you're worth anything or anything like that without a fight or without, you know, training for anything. And I was kind of going through that going into Thanksgiving, and I don't know what it was, but I kind of reminded myself that, like, I need to be thankful that I'm in a position where, like, at any moment the UFC could call me. At any moment, you know, I can fix all of this with my own bare hands. Nothing stands in the way with it.
Yeah, not having something to do. Like, it's been really hard. I haven't done stand-up in almost a year. It's really difficult. The only thing that makes it tolerable is the fact that I know other people aren't doing it. Like, when you know that the majority of people are kind of in the same boat, there is a comfort in that because you don't feel like the world is passing you by. But if everybody else is active and you're not active, then you're like, fuck, man, the whole world is moving and I'm standing here kind of stuck in the mud.
And see, that was kind of what I was going through, watching all these guys take fights, watching all these fights and just watching everybody, you know, jump on a card right then. There's a fight, drop out. I'm going to jump in, you know, all that kind of stuff. Because that's the kind of stuff that I live for. That's what I do. You know, I wouldn't have took this fight on 10 days notice if I wasn't that kind of guy. So it was like just seeing those opportunities, not like there weren't even a possibility for me. It was really just hard to get through.
Probably chomping at the bit to get back in there.
Exactly, man. I was chomping at the bit. You know, it's like that's the first time I'd ever been finished. In my opinion, and I mean, no offense to any of the dudes I've fought that beat me, but it was like my first like legitimate, like, damn, I actually lost that. So it was, and then I took a little while to kind of lick my wounds, sulk, all that kind of stuff. But then afterwards, man, all my coaches, they've been saying nothing but great things. You know, they've told me my mentality, my approach to training, everything has been there since since coming back from all that. And I'm just excited to be able to show everybody, you know, a completely free Violent Bob Ross, like nothing on my mind. Only thing is that I'm here for is just go out there and do my thing. Show y'all, put on a performance.
You talked about that was the first time you really felt like you lost. Like that was the first one that you're like, yeah, this guy actually really beat me. When you lose like a split decision to Matt Frivola or a fight like this, which is easier for you to mentally recover from? Even though they both suck, which is an easier one for you to kind of bounce back from in your head?
Man, I can't lie. Like that night, it felt really bad. But going back and watching the fight and everything afterwards, it was really easy to get over that. Like it was one of those things like, oh, man. I won them, but they took it away from me, so I can't do nothing about it. But at the end of the day, you know, I think those are, they were great lessons for me. You know what I mean? The Frivola fight, the Trezano fight, Kama's fight, they were all really good lessons for me. I learned a lot about myself and a lot about my own approach to things and the things I need to change between not just like as far as like technique and on the physical side of things, but just like on the mental side.
Do you like not having a huge buildup? Like the idea, and again, I know having a full camp is a huge advantage for a lot of reasons, but again, just mentally, do you like the idea? Some guys like being called 2 weeks before a fight or 10 days before a fight because there's no time to think about it. You just show up and the next thing you know, you're fighting. Do you like that better or do you prefer the full camp?
100%. I mean, don't get me wrong. With a full camp, you got all the time to prepare for that specific guy and all this other stuff. But in this particular situation with Jakar Close, especially, it was a no-brainer for me because I've been watching Jakar for a while. It might not be history to him, but it's history to me because I actually cornered against him for one of my best friends before either of one of us was in the UFC, and I wasn't really impressed by the performance, and I thought it was kind of bullshit the way he won. So I've been kind of watching him the whole time since then. And then once he got in the UFC and I got in the UFC and we kind of slowly started making these same kind of movements, I figured this fight would happen. So I've been watching and preparing for having to fight this dude for, you know, in the back of my mind for a while. But as far as like having just 10 days to worry about it, that's great because there's no anxiety. You know what I mean?
Well, he's coming off that tough loss to Beneil Darush and in a fight that he actually had Beneil rock too.
Yeah, it was great.
Hell of a fight where you didn't see that coming when you saw that. So he's going to be having something to prove too. So that's really exciting when you have two guys coming off a tough night. Cause I know as a guy that's in there and I've been on, I know what you're talking about Lewis, when you're saying it's a different feeling when it's actually, all right, it's cut and dry. Like I lost this fight. There's no ins, ands, or buts.
Yeah.
Where it's a big difference between that, feeling that, and then feeling a fight where it's like, ah, man, this guy didn't do shit to me. That was, you know what I mean? Where it's like, when you have a fight where it's close and it's like, so you don't feel like you were bested. So when you know you were bested, the best thing to get that feeling away is to go best someone else, to go beat someone else's ass. You know what I mean? Because I know what it's like to have been stopped, man. I had to, you know, fucking kneed by GSP. The best feeling is to go beat up somebody else.
Exactly. And that's what I plan on doing this Saturday. You know, just like you said, we're both coming off tough losses, both coming off long layoffs. He's actually, I think Jakar is coming. He's like more like 2 weeks away from it being a year layoff for him. So it's going to be a whole, you know, I think this is a got fight of the night written all over just because of the way we're both probably going to be coming into this, the approach we're probably going to be both taking. Like, I know neither one of us wants to take a step backwards and no one wants to go, you know, I think this would be the first time either of us would take two losses in a row and no one wants to do that in their career. You know, this isn't going to be a pitter patter kind of fight.
No. And the division itself is such a good division. What do you think of what's going on at the top now, not knowing what they're going to do with the belt? And do you have any theories as to what they're going to do or what do you think they should do to kind of resolve this?
I mean, from my own standpoint as an athlete, you know, obviously you want to see it. You want to see kind of a meritocracy, you know what I mean? Where in my opinion, the fight to make for the belt would be Doe Bronx and Dustin based off of what both of them have done. But this is an entertainment, you know, they're in the entertainment business. You know what I mean? Like it's all about who can draw the most. So, I mean, if we're going to be real, I would actually like to see Khabib versus Michael Chandler because
I
think
fights. Yeah. It'd be a great fight.
I think that one, if of all the title fights they could make right now, I think that has the best storyline going into it with Michael Chandler being like the longtime Bellator guy. The only caveat is that Michael Chandler didn't have the belt when he came over. So it can't be like, you know, pseudo champ versus champ.
Right.
But it's like this whole Michael Chandler was like the kingpin of the lightweight division in Bellator, if not the entire face of Bellator, his entire run with the company. And for Khabib to be kind of like that version over here, especially with them having very similar styles, although Chandler probably has the better, the more dynamic striking. I think the storyline you could make for that, this whole like company versus company type thing, would be really interesting. It'd be like the old school WCW invasion in the WWE.
Yeah. I like the idea of a meritocracy too, though. Like, again, Chandler is a great fighter, and what he did to Dan Hooker, nobody's, I mean, you know, that was just an incredible win, but I still don't want to see him get a shot at the title. I say one more fight first, because this guy's there who been around for waiting.
No, I can agree with that, Jim. I'm just saying from my own like matchmaking
as a fan. Yeah. Yeah. Of course. Yeah.
You like that pro wrestling, Lewis? I see you did that reference.
Dog, I love pro wrestling.
You do.
If I used to I followed it, I would say, all the way up until Brock Lesnar's transition to the UFC. I was like a huge diehard fan. And then at this point, I just kind of follow it. Like, I know what's going on, and I'll catch episodes of AEW with King Mo every now and then. But I mean, there's nothing like the old school Attitude Era and the Ruthless Aggression Era, in my opinion.
Yeah, I find that interesting when guys, I liked it as a kid too a little bit, but like Jimmy's co-host of his radio show on Sirius, he loves that shit, man. He's got the fucking bed sheets with the characters on.
Yeah.
He's got everything. He's that guy.
He wears wrestling boots on the radio. He doesn't let anybody see it, but he's always got little like yellow Hulk Hogan wrestling boots on when he's doing the radio show.
It's dope.
Yeah, he loves them. He loves wrestling boots.
What's cool for me is like I got all these pro wrestlers now that are like telling me they're fans and stuff, and it's like, dog, y'all don't understand. I've been looking up to y'all.
Yeah,
that's so funny. Is it their presence? Is it their like the soap opera of it? What is it? Or is it what they do in the ring, the acrobatics?
Man, I don't know. It's just the combination of the acting, the athleticism that goes into it. And then the storylines, especially back in the day, man, some of those storylines were great. I don't know. It's just like, there's a very, like, I get why people don't get into it. It is this whole scripted thing. The outcomes are always, you know, people know who's going to win, all that stuff. But there, back in the day, I feel like there was just something about it. You know, there was, it felt more like it resonated with more people because it felt real. You know, it felt like especially the Stone Cold era, where he kind of, in my opinion, like he resonated with people that didn't even like wrestling, because I think everybody can kind of, what's the word I'm looking for?
Relate to him?
Can relate to not liking your boss and being in like keep getting and getting shit on at your job. And just like everything piling on top of you and on top of you. And then to have a guy say, you know what, fuck it. I'm gonna go against the system. It was real easy for everyone to relate to that.
That was his shtick. What was his thing? What would he do? I was the Hulk Hogan era.
I was Bob Backlund and Sergeant Slaughter.
Oh, dude, I love Bob Backlund, the old cross faced chicken wing.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, go ahead.
No, Stone Cold shtick was like he was like, you know, fuck the authority, fuck Vince McMahon. I love that stuff.
Oh, that's fucking cool, man. That's interesting.
Funny too. When I first started fighting, like my first seven amateur fights, I walked out to all pro wrestling.
You did.
Oh, my very first fight, I walked out to the Games theme song, then Shawn Michaels, D-Generation X, Stone Cold, The Rock, The Undertaker.
They still got WrestleMania.
Oh yeah, that's
they still got that right. Far away.
Oh yeah, every year it's a massive.
I remember that as a kid, you know?
Dude, you know, really, what really sucks is last year, before COVID, Xavier Woods was going to have me come out to WrestleMania. He's like in one of the biggest tag teams out right now.
Oh, shit. Oh, well, listen, that stuff's bound to make a comeback, too.
Oh, yeah. No, without a doubt. I think once everything
come back, you know? I think it's that whole new normal could just eat a D. I'm not into that new normal shit.
Me either.
You know? I don't like being so far away from my Jimmy. I need to give this guy a hug soon.
I know. You know? But although I will say I've adapted. I've adjusted.
No, I know what you mean, man, because like I'm just it's funny because I live in Florida and like we just I don't know, life hasn't really changed too much, but then coming out and like experience or like the little bit of traveling I've done during COVID and just seeing like what places around the country are dealing with and the new normal they're having to deal with is ridiculous. Like the way things are in Florida, man, I don't even see how any citizen of that state could complain.
It's not much different than California. I mean, literally almost the same results. It's crazy. Like, you know, totally opposite approaches and almost the same results.
Interesting.
Yeah, really crazy. All right, buddy. We have Philip Hawes coming on in just a moment. Phil's never been on before. It'd be his first time here with us. But you know, we love you. And I'm looking forward to your fight this Saturday against Drekar Klose, man. Always good talking to you.
Yeah, Lewis.
Always good talking to you guys. I appreciate it. Thanks, Matt. Thanks, Jimmy. Appreciate you guys having me on.
Emmy award-winning John Mulaney presents Everybody's in L.A., a special run of 6 live episodes created by and starring Mulaney that'll stream live on Netflix during the Netflix is a Joke Fest. The comically unconventional show will feature special guests where John Mulaney explores the city of Los Angeles during a week when every funny person is in it. Watch John Mulaney Presents Everybody's in L.A., debuting May 3rd live at 7 p.m. Pacific Time, only on Netflix.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to keepitfunohio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Hey, Phil, can you hear us?
Hey, what's up, brother? How's it going?
How are you?
Which way to Muscle Beach, Phil?
What's up, brother?
You're doing push-ups before you got on air just now?
I got a couple.
Listen, man, it's our first time getting to talk to you, man. We're really excited to get to know you.
How are you feeling with the way things have turned around and how well things are going? You got to be happy. You know, I think on the Contender Series, it was Julian Marquez, and then you come back and you wind up winning on it. It's just incredible. So you must feel good about that.
Yeah, of course. You know, just having the wins helps you, shows you you're on the right track. So I'm just honored and blessed that the UFC gave me the opportunity to reveal my greatness and do what I'm doing.
After the loss, how did you handle it? Because I think coming back and winning after a loss is so impressive to do it like that in the same setting. How did you handle that? How did you process that and go, no, I'm going to get back to where I was?
Man, I don't know. I just I know how great I am, and I knew I had more to show, and that showing I had wasn't the best of me. So you just like anyone, you take a loss and you just come back from it, you learn from it, and you. There's certain things I was lacking and I was honest about it. And I tried to fill in those gaps.
For the people that don't know, Phil, where are you fighting out of and what team are you repping?
Right now I'm in Stanford MMA. It's in Florida.
Oh, in Florida. Did you grow up there in Florida?
No, I'm Jersey guy, Jersey boy.
Yeah, me too. Whereabouts?
North Jersey, Hackensack, Little Ferry. That
area. Yeah. No, sure. Yeah. I from North Brunswick. I spent a lot of time in that area in the early days of my job. Now, why Florida? Was it the team, or did you just, was there a place in the country you wanted to be and said, I want to be out of the cold?
Oh, no. It was the team. Definitely. We have a great group of guys, you know, like Gilbert Burns, Tall Steve, you know, there's so many good guys there. Let me saw. So in the plethora and the coaches, you know, so it was a no brainer. Plus the cold helps to get out of the cold.
Oh, of course. Yeah, it's a great motive. No one ever says, wow, Florida sucks. I got to get back to Jersey in February. I don't think anybody's ever said
Yeah.
What did you get started with, Phil? What was your first discipline? Or was it just MMA in general?
No, I was. I started picking up MMA in college. I was wrestling in college. So when I was at Iowa State, I became a fan of MMA, you know, and then it just progressed, you know. So, yeah, wrestling was my first love.
Wrestlers, man, there's something gritty about the wrestlers where they can make that transition, You know, I don't know if it's been some jujitsu guys, they're either tough guys or they're not. But, you know, sometimes they get hit and they're like, maybe that's not for me. I'm going to go back to doing my fucking De La Riva guard. But wrestlers are fucking running hills. They got logs on their shoulders. They're fucking gritty as F.
Yeah, I agree. As a wrestler, I have to agree with that, of course. Yeah, I just think the discipline and the will, you know, that's instilled with you in wrestling helps a lot. You know, it's super beneficial when it comes to MMA because a lot of guys don't have it.
And you seem to understand the value, too. Like, your last couple of fights, immediately you have somebody backing up against the cage. Like, you seem to be very comfortable putting somebody up against the cage, which if you're fighting a wrestler is such a nightmare because you guys are better than anybody. It's smothering somebody on the cage and grinding somebody on the cage. And you didn't even get to that point. But I just noticed how fast you were able to push these guys back up against the cage.
Yeah, it's just that wrestling mindset of attacking, and I'm going to score, and I'm going to do my offense, you know, and being comfortable being hit. I think a lot of people aren't comfortable being hit. Like, some people don't like to get hit, and then some people really don't like to get hit. And I'm one of the people who don't really mind getting hit, you know. I somewhat enjoy it to a point, you know.
You do.
Jimmy does too, but not with a male. Like, usually with like a dominatrix.
Yeah, yeah. I don't want somebody hitting me unless she has on a mask.
Sure. We all have our things.
Oh, yeah, of course. You know, I feel that's my version of MMA, just getting a good beating from a lady.
Hey, Phil, you said, now, this is, we've talked to guys before about this, and I'll tell you, I never heard anybody have a bad experience talking to a mental coach.
Yeah.
I heard nothing but good things. Everybody we talked to from, well, we've heard GSP, it worked for him, you know. And with other really high-level athletes and fighters, how has that helped you?
Man, it's just it puts everything in the now and not really trying to worry too much about the outcomes and things like that. For me personally, but it's also the – working with the coach has helped me mentally and also my self-discovery. Like, I'm also reading books and trying to figure out mindsets from other athletes, you know? And so it's not just the coach. It's a huge focal point of it, but it's also me trying to discover who I am as an athlete and trying to figure out mentally what gets me going.
Now, is there anything you could steer us in the right direction? I mean, you're picking up Tony Robbins books. There's anything.
Yeah, of course.
Presses that is like, oh man, this dude, this guy's got it down. Or
Tony Robbins, he's got some good stuff out there. Man, it's just really one thing I can say that will help a lot of people is you just put your blinders on and pay attention to what you listen to, the type of music you listen to. Make sure you're visualizing like yourself performing at your best, and knowing that our time is super limited, and take every practice like it's a world title practice. Like, don't just walk into the door like, okay, I'm clocking in, you know? Like, know what you're trying to get there to get better at. Know what you're trying to improve. What do you want to get? Go on there with a schedule. Be a schedule. Like, it's your job. Like, so, and I think that's what helped me a lot, just being more routine and, like, really focusing on getting better every day. So.
Is it hard? I always have a hard time just as a person focusing on something. Like, my mind is all over the place. Like, are you good at focusing, or is it something you had to make yourself become good at?
I think in wrestling, I think that's one of the attributes that wrestling helps you get is the focus. You have that sole focus on, I want to be a national champion. I want to win that world. I want to win a title. So it's easy for us wrestlers to translate that to MMA and have our sole focus. Cause you always hear like the best wrestlers that didn't drink, they didn't go out, they didn't do anything, they didn't care about girls. They just wanted to have that sole focus, and winning was like air to them. They needed it. So I think that's my mindset when it comes to fighting.
It's funny when you hear about a guy like that reminded me of when I heard about Dan Gable's story, how he was very awkward. And and one time he went out on a date and he stayed out late and he didn't feel good in the next day of practice. So he's like, no more dates. It's crazy. He has such a fascinating story. Like, he was really.
Yeah, with his sister and everything. He's inspiring. He's one of the guys I look to for that motivation and how he addresses his sport and how he takes it serious, you know. That's I always looked at the guys who did it like that, you know. So
you've seen his I'm sure you've seen his documentary on him or
Of course, he's great.
Oh my goodness. And when we finally had that his last match and he lost, and when the way they were talking about it, then he looks up and he was like crying on the podium. Holy I don't know. Got a little dusty in there.
Yeah, Phil. Yeah, a little bit. A little dust. Allergies. Allergies.
Jimmy, it was something else. Oh, my goodness. Very
yeah.
That damn yeah. Well, I became a fan after watching that, you know? Yeah. Phil, what else? I could tell. I like with all the self-help, like motivation stuff. What else unrelated to MMA is something that we could find out about you? Like any kind of hobbies, any kind of series you're watching on Netflix? It could be a different kind of book. What are you into? Not training.
What am I into? Honestly, man, I know this life's short. You know, I got like, you know, so many more fights. So my sole focus is fighting and becoming a better fighter. But I like self-help, you know, like anything to get better as a person, as a human being, you know. So
what are you watching on? Are you watching any series on Netflix or anything like that?
That's the thing. I don't watch any series.
That's interesting. That's good.
That's one of my things. Because they're addictive, you know. You watch one show, then you got to watch the next one. Then I know my personality, and I try to watch a show, and I'm trying to kill it, you know. So yeah. I watch movies. I like movies because you get to do an hour, boom, we're done, you know, onto your life. So movies. I'm a big movie fan. I'm a movie buff. I go to movies a lot.
Oh, man. Now, you married, kids, single? What is it?
No, just me. Just me. Just living the dream.
You know, it's funny. You don't like watching movies. I like watching a series when you binge a series. It's like it feels good while you're doing it, and you feel disgusting. Like, why am I just – it's like eating cake. Like, you want a little slice of cake, and you eat the whole thing. You're like, what the fuck? Like, I couldn't stop. You feel so disgusted with your inability to stop. So yeah, movies are probably a better bet. Now, are you watching Marvel? Do you like dramas or what is your genre of choice?
My genre, I like everything, man. Chick flicks. Surprisingly, I like chick flicks a lot. I like musicals, kind of lame, but I do.
Musicals.
I could never get into them. I tried. I could never get into musicals.
You say West Side Story?
West Side Story. That's
ready, Bill. You pick it up, and I leave it off. When you're a jet, you're a jet all the way. Come on, Phil.
People are watching this.
No. That's important.
Okay, now, wait. What happened? I know that song, Matt. I know that song. What happened? When you're a jet, you're a jet.
Yeah. You're a jet all the way. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah, I don't care for that at all.
For a cigarette? What?
Yeah, no, I don't like it. The Sharks and the Jets.
Guy in day.
I don't like people that fight with song.
He's a fan. There you go, my man.
I really thought Phil was going to meet me halfway with that.
No.
Now I'm embarrassed.
No, why would you? Phil's first time on the show. He doesn't want to sing West Side Story.
I'm sorry to put you under these hot lamps.
It's hot here.
No, you know what it is? He does this to the guest because he knows I won't sing with him. I absolutely refuse. So he's always trying to find somebody who will belt out a song with him, and I just absolutely won't do it.
He likes West Side Story, though.
West Side Story is good, of course.
All right, let me ask you this musical. Did you like – I tried to watch it. What was the one with Russell Crowe? With Natalie – or not – what was her name? Hathaway. What's Hathaway's name?
Anne Hathaway, sorry.
Yes.
The Mandalorian.
Not The Mandalorian.
Okay.
What's the musical they did? Is it not La Cage aux Folles? It's, Les Mis. Thank you, Antonio.
I didn't see that one.
I got through 10 minutes. No, I hate when they sing their dialogue. Oh, the thing is over there. Like, I just don't like it at all.
I'm not going to lie. The only musical I ever listened to or liked was West Side Story.
Oh, okay.
That's why I tried the, you know.
But Phil, you like a rom-com once in a while too, or like a romance. It's funny too, because the guys you'd never expect. But I watch movies like that, and I get choked up once in a while. I'm like, what's wrong with me?
No, it's good. It's good. I like stuff like that. You know, you got to break it up.
You do.
You can't be kill mode all the time. So
balance.
Yeah,
balance.
You know, and I bet you don't play video games because you're a busy man.
No, I mean, I'm not that busy, but I don't play video games. Same thing.
I don't blame you.
But people do.
I have a lot of time on my hands, evidently.
No, you can't. You have the school, so much.
I like that Phil just met me. He's trying to make me feel better about myself. Yeah. Man, come on. You have a school. Phil, it's good. I came to terms with what I am a long time ago. 100% man child. But we have a good time.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, the way you've been fighting, I mean, you have a lot of time too. I mean, literally, 18 seconds, a minute. I mean, there's not a whole lot of, you spend a little bit of time fighting, get the whole rest of the night to enjoy yourself and do what you want to do. You must love getting out of there fast.
Yeah, they don't pay by the hour. So, you know, I got to get out of there.
It does feel good though. Once that ref jumps in, once you know it's over, it's like, oh, it is a fantastic feeling, man.
I agree.
Your guy's trying to do your bodily harm in there. So when you get him out of there, he's no longer a threat. And that's part of it. It's part when that's done. It's like, all right, my threat is relieved. Then I won. And it's all cloud nine. How does it feel when you, after the stoppage, when you get that win, when you get that victory, could you try to put into words what that feels like?
Oh man. Yeah. It's hard. It's really hard. Especially when you visualize so much as I do, it's kind of like, oh, of course this was supposed to happen. So it's kind of, you know what I mean? You don't get that, like, after you see a lot of my wins, you don't see me like jump up, or I never been on top of the cage, you know, with that emotion, because I visualize so much of the happening. It's kind of like, okay, this is what I expected to happen. You know, it's kind of like, I feel like people get super excited because they're not too sure. You know, there's a lot of animosity. Like when you wake up in the morning, you don't jump out of bed and you don't start dancing like, yes, another day, you know?
Totally fucking makes sense. I do cartwheels after I get a knockout because I go, ah, could have been me. Holy shit, I did it.
Yeah.
I wasn't as confident as you. I was like, holy fuck. Woo.
Yeah.
No, I'm that happy when I get up in the morning. When I wake up, that's the first thing I do when I get out of bed is I jump up and I scream and I wake up the person. I'm like, who are you? You
know, start singing.
Yeah, ask them their name. Well, look, man, you are a really exciting fighter to watch. And I mean, you know that people are very, very happy to see you. And obviously this is going to be, by the way, I wanted to say too, I love in your last fight, watching you close distance. I think, what was he, 6'6"? Best I Have, I think is how you say his name. He's like 6'6". Yeah. And you had longer reach than he did. Watching you throw leg kicks and close distance on that guy was incredibly impressive. Maybe he was worried about a takedown because his arms were a little bit low, but watching how fast you got in, I mean, you really didn't seem to care at all that there was a 6-inch height difference.
Yeah. Man, just like I said, I try to focus on what I'm going to do and not worry too much about what they're going to do. And yeah, I think that was the thing that helped me. You know, I said in the beginning, people don't like to get hit, but like, I know that's part of the game and I'm going to get hit. So like, okay, hit me and I'm gonna hit you back harder multiple times more. So that's what you can see the transition of Julian Marquez fight to, let's say, Best I Have. Like the Julian Marquez fight, I was like out of position, trying not to get hit. Whereas this fight was, all right, let's go. We're going to fight. You know, it's a fight. I'm going to get hit. Just being comfortable being hit.
Yeah, and not, especially, I mean, Marquez was a kick, and, you know, that was just one of those things where you don't see, a lot of times guys won't throw that because, you know, the hand is still down, and he just caught you at the right moment. I mean, I don't think there's anybody that doesn't get knocked out by that. So you're an exciting fighter, Phil. Love watching you, and I'm really happy you're on this card this Saturday night against Imavov. So listen, we will talk to you again. I hope you come back on with us.
Yeah, see, I watch you all the time. It's awesome. Thank you.
To come back after my singing. I didn't want to, Jimmy.
That was great. Totally, that made me happy.
I totally didn't want to break it. I just met him.
I understood.
I just met the man. I didn't want to just break into song. But when he said he's a fan of West Side Story, Jimmy, could you blame me? Could you?
No, I understood.
Thank you. Let's do picks.
Okay. Okay.
You're a jet all the way to your first cigarette to your last dying day. Oh. Anyway. Let's go, Jimmy. I love you. I do it just to put a smile or a cringe on that face of yours.
It always makes me smile. Never a cringe. Now, do you want to start? Where do you want to start? This is a very good card. Andre Arlovsky against Tom Aspinall. Hold on. It's hard for me to read here.
Listen. Right. Well, he's 2-0 in the UFC.
They're both coming off two wins. I mean, Arlovsky has looked good.
I always pick, for some reason, I always pick against Arlovsky, and he goes.
I know. Tanner Boser fight. Yeah, I always do too.
He makes me eat my stupid words, and I'm like Popeye, and I'm tied up, and his father's trying to eat him the spinach, and he's like, "No, I don't want to. Yucky. No, I don't want to eat the spinach, but I should eat the spinach. I'm going with Arlovsky. It was a horrible, take away that whole.
No, leave it.
I had nothing to do with anything. But what I'm trying to say is I'm going with Orlovsky because I pick against him. And I'm not doing that again. All right? So I'm going to take Orlovsky by decision.
I am going to take Aspinall by a second round stoppage.
Oh, yeah. Now looking at this guy's record, his last two fights are all knockouts. Listen to me. I got to stay. I'm sticking to my guns. You know what I mean?
I understand.
I've been saying, oh, no, Orlovsky, you know, he might be a little glass in that chin. He goes, what? Look under this beard. Look, do you see any glass in that motherfucker? There's not. He might have put an iron plate in there because he's back. I'm going to say he's going to win a decision. He's going to teach this 40-year-old, 2-year-old is going to teach this young 27-year-old. He's going to say, listen, you're 2-0 in the UFC. I got almost 40 fights in there. He's got a lot of fights. But all right, let's just go with what we're going with. Orlovsky by decision. Excuse me.
Okay. Phil Hawes against Nazruddin Imavov. Phil Hawes. Now, to get 3 first round knockouts, it might be a little unrealistic.
Phil's first round knockout. I cut you off, Jimmy. I cut you off, but that's why, because I think you were going to say first.
I'm going to take him. Phil by decision.
I like it. You just whenever I'm yelling, you just keep going. Listen, I respect your decision. And I respectfully disagree with it. Because I feel, Jimmy.
Yes.
I feel this is going to be interesting. I'm going to say first round knockout by Phil.
Okay. I'm giving Phil a decision.
All right. All right. Let's go. Olenek. Olenek. Yell it. Yeah, say it like that. It's fun.
Olenek against.
Yes.
Chris Daukaus. Guy, he's 43. I'm going to take, as much as Olenek is again, such a very tough veteran. I'm going to take Daukaus. I'm going to give him a first round stoppage.
Second round sub for Olenek. That's what I'm saying.
Okay.
I love when he gets the does that like naked Ezekiel choke with his glove. It's fucking great.
Okay.
He does that a lot. He does that more than once. He does it several times. He did that once when the guy was mounted on him. Choke the guy out when the guy's mounted on him, Jimmy.
Yeah, I know.
You know how many times that happens?
Very rarely.
Very rarely. Ever.
Now, Charlie Rosa against Derek Minner. Both Rosa coming off submission wins.
Rosa decision.
I'm going to say Rosa, third round stoppage.
I like your style. Ooh, Caitlin Vera. Rusiana.
Kuniskaya. Both coming off of decision wins. Kellen Vieira was, I believe, 10-0, and then she lost to Aldana with that first round knockout. And I'm going to take Kellen Vieira, and I'm going to take her. I think she is going to submit Kunitskaya. I'm going to say in the second round.
I was going to say the same thing.
Okay.
I'm going to say submission in the first round.
All right.
Dun, 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 dun. All right, Curtis Blaydes versus Derek Lewis. This is such a Jimmy.
Yes. I know.
I'm going to go with Curtis Blaydes. And you know I'm a big fan of Derek Lewis.
I know you are.
I like Derek Lewis. He's going to understand. I have to go with Curtis Blaydes. I feel the wrestling will be the difference. And it's not that he can't punch either, Curtis. People give Curtis a lot of shit. He just beat Volkov. And Volkov just looked like a monster versus Overeem. Now, you know, Derek Lewis beat Volkov too, but he was losing that fight until that one punch changed it. He always has the power to end it with that punch.
Yes, he does.
You know what I mean? But I feel Curtis will be like suffocating him. I think he will be glued to him. And I think, and I, people gave Curtis a lot of shit for that because he got tied with that fight with Volkov. I understand, but I think he's going to learn from that and learn to pace himself better. And he still outmaneuvered. He was still out grappling him.
Yep.
And that's doing that with a 6'6" giant. How tall is he? I'm guessing 6'6".
6'7". Volkov is 6'7".
Guy could literally rest his sack on my head. Sorry. I could teabag me standing up. Just anyway, be normal. Jimmy, what are you going with? I'll tell you from what round and whatnot.
What round?
You're just making me say my whole fucking kit and caboodle.
I'm saying this.
Third round stoppage, Curtis Blaydes. Well, now you're making it awkward because you're just standing.
Fuck, up. I don't know. Again,
Jimmy.
Latifi, I mean.
Would it be weird if I went on the subway? I went, not even invited. I remember where you live. And I bring you a bit. Matt, what are you? I just want a hug. I'll wash my hands first.
Third round stoppage, Lewis. Derek Lewis, third round stoppage.
You know what I'm saying, Jimmy. Like you are. You're doing the right thing by ignoring. I was just saying, would it be silly if I took a ride to the city just to see you and I got a hug and get a hug? Would that be
no, weird? It's perfect.
That, you're doing the best thing. Just go with what I'm saying just so we can move on. So wait, what did you say? Because I totally ignored it.
Lewis, third round stoppage.
Oh, you said the same thing as me, except the exact opposite.
Yeah, I think Lewis. Again, not that Curtis can't submit him, but I just think Derek Lewis, he's looked really solid. I'm going to take Lewis.
All right.
Okay.
Now, you know, I'm not going to talk to you for a little bit. Maybe we'll take a
moment. I know.
But this was a fun show, you know, got to know, you know, Phil a little bit. That was fun. You know, Luis Peña is always a good time.
Always a good time. Yeah. Know?
And most importantly, I got to see you.
We got to talk. That's all that matters.
That's it, Jimmy. All right, listen to me. Do me a favor, Jimmy.
Yep.
I'm going to tell the producers to write this down also. Let's get some of your comedian buddies on again. I have fun.
I'd love to. Let's get Voss on next week. Bobby, let's anytime.
Voss on again. Voss is love fun. To. I don't mind getting attacked by him, you know?
No, he's great. He's the best.
Every little man, I like him. Yeah, let's get some of your buddies on. And then maybe I only have one buddy or two. Maybe we'll get Dean Thomas on again.
Awesome.
All right, Jimmy. I'll talk. Anything you want to plug, brother?
No, I'm good. Go to cameo.com, Jim Norton, if you want a cameo.
I do cameos also.
I love them.
Matt Serra cameo. Okay. Matt Serra BJJ on Instagram. I don't know why I'm saying that.
No, people should go there.
All right, Jimmy. I'll talk to you soon, brother.
See you, pal. See you soon, okay?
Bye, Jimmy.
Emmy Award-winning John Mulaney presents Everybody's in L.A., a special run of 6 live episodes created by and starring Mulaney that'll stream live on Netflix during the Netflix is a Joke Fest. The comically unconventional show will feature special guests where John Mulaney explores the city of Los Angeles during a week when every funny person is in it. Watch John Mulaney Presents Everybody's in L.A., debuting May 3rd live at 7 p.m. Pacific Time, only on Netflix.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to keepitfunohio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.